Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
From the depths of the sea, this is Transmissions from Atlantis, a sci-fi, fantasy, and horror podcast with a special emphasis on Doctor Who. Featuring the creators of Seekers of the Lost Worlds, Rita and J.C. Della Torre.
Hello, everybody. My name is J.C. Della Torre.
And I'm Rita Della Torre.
And this is Transmissions from Atlantis, episode 125.
By the way, folks, we are now celebrating our five-year anniversary.
That's correct. 5 years of Transmissions from Atlantis. We actually begun this podcast shortly after Timegate of 2012.
Yes, so 5 years. Can you believe it's been that long?
Yeah.
You want to know how I realized it was 5 years?
One of those Facebook remember things?
Yep. it was my friendiversary with Mike Faber.
Oh, yeah, of
who,
course.
Who helped us start it all.
Yeah, and of course, we've told you guys the stories before that, we went to that Timegate in 2012 and we attended Mike Faber's podcasting panel about how to get started in podcasting. And the very next week, we got started in podcasting. And you will never hear that first episode of Transmissions from Atlantis because we didn't record it.
That's right. So, happy 5-year anniversary.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
And we've got a jam-packed episode for you this week. My gosh, we got a jam-packed episode. But first, we got to address something. Our last episode, we said that we were going to review King Arthur.
And we never watched it.
Yeah, we're not. Yeah, because it bombed in the box office and went bye-bye so quickly that, basically, we didn't really want to waste our time on it.
Nah, and, mind you, we had a lot of other things going on, too, so we just kind of didn't make it out there to see it, so sorry.
But the good news is we do have a lot of stuff to talk to you about. First of all, in our rapid-fire segment, we're going to talk about Twin Peaks.
Woohoo!
As well as...
It's a damn good cup of coffee.
Yes, it is.
Cherry pie.
Cherry pie. And, of course, American Gods is one of the most weirdest shows that I think I've ever seen, and I've been loving it.
Yeah.
We're also going to talk about a peculiar show that we've been watching. It's a Starz program called The White Princess.
Which is a continuation of The White Queen, which was also a Starz show that some people may have already watched as well.
That's right. And it's been a fascinating show. I've kind of liked it. You guys know that I'm a huge sucker for historical drama, and it's got a bit of historical drama as well as some supernatural elements to it.
Yeah, very little supernatural element, but it's there.
Yep. Of course, Lucifer's back, so we gotta talk about the return of Lucifer. And Mark Hamill hates where they took Luke's character.
Yep. And also, this week was released the official Game of Thrones trailer.
And, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god! And our big main topic of the week, of course...
Pirates of the Caribbean!
Pirates of the Caribbean, Part 5. Was it worth watching? That's not the subtitle, but that's what the question is. Was it worth watching? We're going to tell you. In Doctor Who, we've got two episodes to review. It's the first two parts of the three-part extravaganza. And the funny thing is, it was never announced as a three-parter. But we kind of told you it was going to be a three-parter. Nobody believed us.
And
guess
it
what?
Is.
It's a three-parter.
And it looks, based on the previews, Missy's going to be coming back for that third one.
Told you!
Yep.
All right, so anyway, we're going to review those two episodes. Plus, will Capaldi regenerate in the next episode? There are rampant rumors it might happen. We'll talk about that. And some good news about Doctor Who that BBC World talked about. So we will reveal that. So that's the lineup, and I guess we can get started with Rapid Fire! Alright, now it's time for Rapid Fire! Ah!
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I gotta do it!
Alright, so first off, we're gonna talk Twin Peaks. Jason and I actually spent several days watching the first and second original series, plus the film Fire Walk With Me.
Yes. So, first, some thoughts on the original Twin Peaks.
It's weird, but I love it.
It's such an unusual show because it's a soap opera. That's also one of the weirdest shows you will ever watch. It's got this weird sci-fi, horror, weirdness vibe.
Yeah, it's like watching an episode of Supernatural.
As a soap opera
was thrown into it.
Right. Yes. Don't get any ideas, Eric Kripke, by the way. Please. No, but I mean, the original Twin Peaks was so 80s and so 90s. I mean, I think it came out in like 90, 91 time frame, right? But it was right in that time when you had Falcon Crest and Dynasty and crap like that. So they tried to combine the Dynasty type show with sci-fi X-Files type stuff.
And with some horror and murder and stuff put in, and it was weird, but in a good way.
Yeah, and it was an amazing concept by David Lynch, and the show itself obviously got itself a cult following. There are episodes in that original series that are hard to get through. The James Hurley episodes.
Yeah, like at the beginning of season 2. Those are a little difficult to get through.
They are awful. They are awful. But, you know, the payoff is towards the end of the season when, you know, Killer Bob is starting to reveal himself and we find out who killed Laura Palmer, and everything just kind of comes together. And then they have the huge cliffhanger at the end of season 2, and then the show got canceled.
So I can't imagine if you were watching this in the early 90s, and you're a huge fan of this show, and it ends like that.
Yep, and you have to wait 25 years for it to come back. And not only that, they announce, hey, we're doing a movie. And you're like, great, we finally get to find out what happened to Agent Cooper.
No, it's a prequel.
It's a prequel! And not a very good one, by the way.
No, actually, I thought it was good because, you know, it was all about leading up to Laura Palmer's death. And especially towards the end of the film, it was getting really out there.
Yeah, I think the only thing I didn't care for was the departure from the show. To where David Lynch decided, hey, I'm making a movie, so I can throw boobies and nakedness everywhere.
That is true. There was a lot of nudity in it that I don't think...
It really didn't need it. I mean, we all knew Laura Palmer was a whore. We didn't need it kind of illustrated.
Yeah.
And it was kind of odd that, you know, her friend Donna's there, but it's not the same actress.
No, so that was a little odd.
And then you have the whole situation where that actress is being spread-eagled on some bar table. You know, it's kind of like, that's totally not her character. And yeah, it just didn't make much sense.
But it really delves into the fact that everybody thought Laura Palmer was this little goody-goody two-shoes high school girl, and in reality, she had issues.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that she had been targeted by Bob since she was like 12.
And the other weird thing about it was the movie was only took place like a couple years after the TV show, right? But it was like...
All the actors had aged.
It looked like all the kids were like 25, 30. It was like, you know, Beverly Hills 90210 came back. You know?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we've talked a lot about the old series. Let's talk about the new series, The Return.
What I am loving so far about the Twin Peaks The Return is that they left out the little soap opera bits.
Yes.
And they're just focusing on Cooper's story and the supernatural stuff.
The mythology.
Yeah, the mythology. And it's been fantastic. They should have done this with the original series.
Yeah, you made a great point. One of the things that I like to do when I'm watching the X-Files is I throw out a lot of the Creature of the Week episodes and strictly watch
the
canon mythology episodes, right?
Yeah.
And it just seems to roll so much better when you do that. And it's kind of the same thing with Twin Peaks. They've cut out a bunch of the fat. All the crappy love stories that, you know, James Hurley's got puppy dog eyes for this chick or that chick. Or
has got the broody face.
Yeah, and nobody cares. Nobody cares. And, you know, the whole issues with Audrey and her father and her father going insane. And nobody gives a crap. Everybody wants to know what the hell's going on with Cooper.
Yeah.
And the great thing about The Return is how they've focused everything specifically on the mythology of Twin Peaks, of, you know, the Black Lodge, the whole, which, you know, what's weird, they call it the Black Lodge, but everything's red. But anyway.
Right. Well, the thing is that Twin Peaks: The Return is put together, again, by the visionary David Lynch.
Yep.
And it's like he had 25 years to totally redevelop and redefine what he did back in the early 90s. And he's just come up with an even more brilliant story than he did before.
Yeah, and the whole thing about it is that, you know, it worked in the 90s, the whole soap opera combination with...
It wouldn't have worked today.
It wouldn't have worked today. So he was smart in abandoning that format and just focusing on the important elements that we all want to know about.
Exactly. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, man, Twin Peaks right now is an 11 for me.
Yeah, it's an 11 for me, too. I mean, it's right up. I mean, I've enjoyed The Return so much. I can't wait for the next episodes to be released.
Making us wait 2 weeks?
Yeah, I'm on the edge of my seat. I can't wait, so.
Well, 2 weeks versus the people who had to wait 25 years. I don't think we can complain.
Yeah, we can't exactly complain all that much.
All right, so next up, American Gods.
One of the weirdest shows I've ever watched.
But I think I know why we're liking this show so much. Because it's Twin Peaks weird.
Yes. Well, I guess that kind of rolls right into it. Because we've been watching Twin Peaks. So then when we watch American Gods, the weirdness of American Gods doesn't shock us as much. Because, hell, we just got through Twin Peaks. So how weird can you get?
Well, American Gods can get pretty weird. But so far, it's been one of those shows that's kind of keeping you on the edge of your seat because you just don't know what the heck is going to happen next.
And it's must-see TV because it's like you said, there's no... A lot of shows you can pretty much figure out where it's going. Even Game of Thrones, to a point, you can kind of figure out where it's leading to. This show, you have no freaking clue what's going to happen next.
And just a warning, people, if you haven't seen this show, it is gory.
Oh, yes. It's like, remember Spartacus, Blood and Sand?
Yes.
You know, where it had just like the obscene amount of blood whenever they'd like chop somebody's arm off or something?
I mean, I think they've taken gore to the next level and turned it into an art form in the show. No, I'm not kidding. And I really do. I mean, the level that
you think it's
taken...
pretty?
I think it's pretty. it's just the level that they've taken it to. It's beyond like Walking Dead type 4.
Yeah, and I'll be quite honest with you. My favorite part of the show is Gillian Anderson as Media. Because
Yes. She
is loving this role so much, you can tell.
She was channeling Bowie so much.
She channeled Bowie. She channeled Marilyn Monroe. I Love Lucy. I mean, she is loving every single minute of it. You can tell it. And that's the fun thing when you see an actress that is enjoying her role that much.
She's having a blast.
Yeah,
doing
she
that.
Was reveling in it. You could tell. and I mean, it just makes it fun to watch.
Yeah.
And so, and of course, the whole story of American Gods is kind of an interesting, unique story where the old gods are forgotten and
the new gods are trying to take over.
Yeah, and they're trying to get, and the old gods are trying to get their mojo.
And by the way, for you Doctor Who fans, this was written by Neil Gaiman.
Yes. Yep, exactly. So, American Gods, I'm right up there with that one too.
Ooh, yeah.
A 10 as well.
All right, so next up, The White Princess. Only reason we're bringing this up on the show is because, number one, it's historical. And two, even though it doesn't have that much supernatural to it, it has this small hint of it that I think would qualify for this show.
Not only that, it's our show and we do what we want.
That's right. But, you know, we've seen the Tudor show. We've seen other historical dramas. We've been watching Versailles, which is also fantastic.
Versailles is fantastic. Watch Versailles.
Versailles, wow.
Well, let's not get sidetracked.
Okay, yeah, let's not get sidetracked. But, all right, so The White Princess is a continuation of The White Queen. Mm-hmm. Both shows are on Stars. The only problem I had at first with The White Princess is that a lot of the actors were...
From The White Queen miniseries did not carry over into The White Princess.
Yeah, in fact, I think only one did.
Right.
Which was the grandmother.
Right.
But it's such a fantastic show to see the intricacies of the English court
during
that time.
And basically this is the story of Henry Tudor, the first of the Tudor dynasty.
Yeah.
And if you watched the Tudors TV show back in the day, this is Henry VIII's dad.
Yes. So this show has that Tudors vibe to it, which is what makes it so great, except this show and... The White Queen is more of the perspective of the women.
Which I like. I really like that kind of point of view of it.
Yeah, because you rarely see that type of point of view.
Yeah, because it's always by the king. You know, how the king is relating to everything. And this time it's how the queen is relating to all the intrigue and backstabbing and all the craziness around her.
What I like about this show and what I liked about The White Queen is that it's a short miniseries. You're getting eight or nine episodes. That tells the storyline of that one character, and then they move on to the next timeline. Mm-hmm. So, you know, first we had Elizabeth Woodbridge.
Woodbridge, yeah.
And now we have...
Woodbridge?
Woodside?
Like
I don't know.
Something like that.
And then now we have the story of her daughter, Assumption to Queen.
Right.
So, who knows? You know, they're probably going to end her story, and maybe they're going to get into Henry VIII.
Well, if they do that, I don't know how the hell they're going to work that out, because, let's face it, he ran through queens pretty quickly, so if we're doing it all from the queens of Henry VIII, I don't know.
Well, Catherine of Aragon survived it all.
That's true. It could be all from her point of view. Who knows?
That is a possibility. All right, so The White Princess is also on the top of our must-see list.
Yep.
Next up, Lucifer finally came back. Yay!
Yes, and of course, Lucifer has been a very surprising show that I've loved because I didn't get the concept at first, but as I've watched it, well, number one, the actor has been absolutely amazing of Lucifer, so I fell in love with him with his acting prowess. And then the show itself is just, it's not your normal cop procedural. I mean, it has the murder of the week, but at the same time...
It's got this, you know, whole supernatural side to it.
Yes, that makes it interesting to me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's why I love it so much. And the story is, as usual, always getting good.
Yep.
And can only get better.
And the big question that that's on everybody's mind is, what's up with Lucifer's mom? Because apparently, she's having some issues.
Yep.
And I gotta say, the episode with God Johnson, I am so disappointed that wasn't God.
Yeah. I was kind of disappointed with that too. I really was hoping he was God. And you know, in this show, God at some point is going to have to make an appearance.
Yeah, and number one, because I love that actor, and I would love him to have a recurring role. But at the same time, you know, the fact that, you know, Lucifer was interacting with his father, you know, was kind of like a whole other dynamic that I really, really liked.
Yes, and I wanted to see that continue.
And then to find out that it was all kind of a ruse, it was a little bit disappointing.
Yeah.
But other than that,
Trixies. They tricked us.
They were Trixies, yes.
But overall, another must-see show.
Yep.
And it's great because there was a whole other shows, you know, for us have been on hiatus. So it's nice to have some stuff to watch. All right, next up.
Mark Hamill hates the way they took Luke's character in the new Star Wars movie.
And he made his opinions known.
Yes, apparently he told the director, Rian Johnson, that he hates what they did with Luke's character, but he's a professional, and he will try to realize their vision. And at the end of it, he said that it may have turned out okay, but why does he hate where they took Luke? Why do you think that is?
Don't tell Debbie, but I think he dies.
Or he goes dark side.
Dark side Hamill.
Interesting. He's got a little bit too much of his father in him, I guess.
Yep. Sorry, Debbie.
Yep, we'll see. But I find it interesting, and hopefully it's not a bad omen for the new upcoming Star Wars movie, because The Last Jedi has been looking pretty damn good, so from the few trailers that we watched.
And my understanding is that they're also reworking all of Episode 9 now.
Yes, because from the rumor has it, the way that it was supposed to work was The Force Awakens was all about Han Solo. The Last Jedi is all about Luke, and the final movie was supposed to be all about Leia.
But now she's no longer with us.
Obviously, so. Carrie passed away, so they can't do it that way anymore. So it'll be interesting to see how all that works out. Next up, the Game of Thrones trailer.
Oh man, it looks so amazing. And we still have a whole other season after this one.
Yes, but also remember that these aren't full seasons. These are half seasons.
Yeah, I know. We're only getting, what, like 6 episodes?
Correct.
6 or 7?
6 or 7 episodes. I think this one's 7 episodes, and I think the last one's going to be 6.
But you know what? They've been talking about, you know, winter is coming for ages, and I think winter has finally come.
Yeah, from some of the preview scenes, it looks like there's a lot of snow going on there, and it's not at the White Wall, or what is it?
It's not at the Wall of the North, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, it's not at the Wall, yes.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be interesting. I want to see the White Walker start kicking some ass.
And it looks like Daenerys is finally, you know, in Westeros somewhere.
Yep. It's about damn time.
Right? Okay, so apparently there was a fight that almost happened between Flash Gordon and Lou Ferrigno, the Hulk.
Yes, and apparently a convention in London, I believe it was. There was a bit of kerfuffle between Sam Jones, who played Flash Gordon in the famous Flash Gordon movie.
And Lou Ferrigno, who plays the Hulk.
Exactly. And they nearly got into fisticuffs before a 5'7" fan got between them and asked them to, you know, cut
chill.
It out. Yeah, to chill out.
Okay, but between you and me, who would have won that fight?
Oh, Sam Jones would have kicked Lou Ferrigno's ass. I'm sorry. And the reason why we say that is in no disrespect to Lou Ferrigno, who's this big hulking... He's a Hulk. You know, he's a big dude, right? But Sam Jones, we know for a fact, is a tough badass.
He is actually a bodyguard in real life.
So he's taken guys like Lou Ferrigno and had them for breakfast.
Yeah.
So I don't think he would have had any problems putting Lou Ferrigno in his place.
That's right.
So sorry, Lou. I'm sure you're a great guy. Or maybe you're not, and that's why Sam Jones wanted to kick your ass. But either way, just be happy that the 5'7" fan was courageous enough to get between you so you didn't get embarrassed in front of everybody.
That's right. And I think that does it for Rapid Fire.
Yes, it does. And coming up next is our review of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Dead men tell no tales.
Dead men tell no tales.
Hey everyone, venture into the pop culture cosmos today, where you'll hear our conversations on different topics within the world of movies, TV, video games, comic books, technology, board gaming, and more. You'll also get a taste of some of our other shows within the cosmos as well. So come on and join us each week as we delve into the pop culture cosmos.
Welcome to the pop culture cosmos.
Yo ho, yo ho.
Really?
A pirate's life for me. I'll sing pirates if I want to. Drink up me hearty, yo ho.
Well, so obviously we watched the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Ask me how I liked it.
How'd you like it?
I think it was the best damn pirates film since The Curse of the Black Pearl.
And that's saying something. Well, not really, because if you really think about it, the sequels have kind of sucked. The second one was okay. The third one was kind of meh. And the fourth one was absolutely dreadful. And we recently put ourselves through the fourth one, so because we haven't actually watched it since we watched it in the theater.
We've had the Blu-ray for a few years, and it's actually never been open until just the other day.
Yep, and we figured, well, since this one's going to be, that one's leading into this one, maybe we should watch it so that we can remember what happened in that one. And you know what? We probably could have not watched it and been just fine and figured it out, because there was only a few little elements that carried over from the fourth movie into the fifth movie, and frankly, that fourth movie is absolutely dreadful. Except for Ian McShane as Blackbeard, because he's awesome. But other than that.
Yeah. And now he's in American Gods.
Yep, now he's Odin. But anyway, on to Pirates 5, and it was a very pleasant surprise, because, let's face it, after, you know, you had the whole two Davy Jones movies, and then you had this the last pile of crap, the hopes weren't exactly high for Pirates 5 being worth a damn.
Yeah, except, you know, what we were seeing in the trailers looked amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it looked pretty good, but we were kind of like, yeah, you know, well, on Stranger Tides looked pretty good, too, and then it was a pile of stuff.
Crap!
It was crap! And so, but this one, I mean, from the start of the movie to the very end of the movie, and even after the credits, you know, with the after credits scene, it was just a wow moment movie. And it really did remind you of The Curse of the Black Pearl. It had that same vibe. And I think a lot of it is because of the fact that the villains in this one were the dead.
Yes. You have the villain, which is Captain Salazar,
mm-hmm.
if I remember his name correctly.
Something Spanish.
Yeah, it was something Spanish. And seeing them really, really reminded me of Captain Barbossa and his crew, you know, during the Curse of the Black Pearl.
Yep.
It was done a little bit differently, and their curse was also different.
Yep.
But you did get that same vibe, and I think that's probably why I loved it so much, is because it reminded me of everything I loved from the Black Pearl.
Yep. And then, of course, you had the two main love stories. The son of Will Turner.
And Elizabeth Swan.
And then, of course, the heroine was also somebody that was... that we're not going to reveal who her father was, but she had a very interesting father and parentage as well. And she was unique because... she was super intelligent, and
of course, because she's a witch!
She's a witch! She's a sorceress! She can't know this stuff!
Oh my god, when she went into that one... this is at the beginning of the movie, so it's just a funny scene, but when she went into that one place where you can tell this is a guy of learning, of science.
Of astronomy, yeah.
And astronomy, and all this, and she's just like, oh, well, you know, I tweaked this for you, you know, because of this and this and this. Even a man of... learning called her a witch because of that. And yep. Why? Because she was a woman.
And because she was smarter than he was. And that can't happen, because I'm a man. And you're a woman.
Witch!
Witch!
But what was rather ironic is that the one main naval guy who was wanting to execute her as a witch works with a witch.
Yes.
What a hypocrite!
Go figure. In any event, of course, Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow, and... if there's anything that makes a Pirates of the Caribbean movie worth watching, it's usually Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
And while his career may have, you know, gone off a bit of a cliff of late, he can always come back to Pirates and still give you an entertaining performance.
It's not just that, it's what he does off screen too.
Yes.
not only does he sneak onto the Pirates of the Caribbean ride once in a blue moon, but he goes into children's hospitals, folks, dressed as Jack Sparrow from top to bottom.
Yep. And, you know, I mean, it's great, but focusing on the movies, though, I just think that every Pirates movie, the only redeeming part of it is
Jack.
Yeah. You know, if Jack is ever not part of a Pirates of the Caribbean movie, to me, it's not worth watching.
Yeah.
So, and he did not disappoint in this one. I mean, from the beginning when they find him in locked in an impenetrable safe, you know, where with the mayor's wife.
Yeah.
Oops, you know.
Oopsie.
Yeah, you know, they spend like 2 minutes introducing this safe as, you know, it's the most high-tech thing in the Caribbean, and it's impenetrable. And then they open up the safe, and Jack's in there sleeping off a rum fix with the mayor's wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, the whole scene when
when they
try to steal the safe and end up stealing the whole bank. Yeah. So, I mean,
that was so awesome.
The way that it kind of wrapped up everything, and at the end of Stranger Tides, Jack has lost the pearl. It's basically in a glass bottle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, it was a downer of an ending of the movie, you know what I mean? He didn't have the pearl. He didn't have the crew anymore. You know, he was basically, you know, leaving Salma Hayek's character stranded on some desert island. It just was a downer kind of ending to the film, right? This movie actually had a very, very cool ending. We're not going to give it away.
No, but it was, let's just say it gives you closure.
Yes, it gives you closure, and it makes you feel good because, you know, and I don't think this is any big reveal. Jack gets the pearl at the end, as he should, and he's back on the pearl. And he's back to his larcenous ways. And then the other thing also happens, which makes everybody feel nice and happy and good. And then, you know, it's just a good way to end the film. And if the franchise ended, then it's a good way to end the franchise, right?
Agreed.
Although the franchise isn't ending, because this movie made a tons of money as well.
Yeah.
So, get ready for Pirates of the Caribbean 6. Hopefully it doesn't suck. So, what would you rate this movie?
Oh, 10.
10?
Yeah.
I will rate it a 10 as well, you know, and I don't give my 10s out lightly, you know.
But, I mean, it was kept me entertained and at the edge of my seat from beginning to end.
Yes, and I loved basically every minute of this movie. It is an ultimate buy for me. As soon as it comes out on Blu-ray, we are owning it, and we won't wait 3 years to watch it. We'll probably watch it as soon as we get it.
Probably.
Because it was that good. In fact, I probably want to see it again before the summer's out, but it was a lot of fun, and really enjoyed it, and we highly recommend it. Coming up next, we're talking
Doctor Who!
Who are you?
Whee!
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Cornflake.
So we host the Flopcast.
We cover nerd and geek subjects of all types, but this is sort of a sillier, goofier side of geekdom, I'd say.
We love to talk about music, especially funny music.
We talk about comic books, conventions.
Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh, yeah. I'd say if you're going to put the Flopcast in Brady Bunch terms, we're like the Cousin Oliver of podcasting. And we do a ridiculous new Flopcast episode every week.
What is wrong with us?
We really have nothing else to do. We're part of the Earth Station One podcast network.
And you can find us at flopcast.net.
Hello, this is Nick Briggs, the voice of the Daleks, and you're listening to Transmissions from Atlantis. And I urge you to listen, or you will be exterminated!
Where is the Doctor now?
I haven't the faintest idea.
Is that credible?
It's true.
You're the woman he loves.
No, I'm not.
She's lying.
The Doctor does not and has never loved me. I'm not lying.
Confirmed. The life form is not lying.
Impossible. This is a trick.
No, it isn't.
My information is correct. You are the woman who loves the Doctor.
Yes, I am. I've never denied it. But whoever said he loved me back, he's the Doctor. He doesn't go around falling in love with people. And if you think he's anything that small or that ordinary, then you haven't the first idea of what you're dealing with.
Your Majesty, I assure you, she is the perfect bait. When this woman is in danger, the doctor will always come.
Oh, you are a moron. No, he won't.
He's probably already here.
No, he isn't. Of course he isn't.
Possibly on this ship.
Well, go on. Scan it then. Go on, why don't you?
River.
Two hearts, stupid clothes. You can't miss him.
River.
Go on, scan the whole parsec. He's not here. God knows where he is right now, but I promise you, he's doing whatever the hell he wants and not giving a damn about me. And I'm just fine with that.
River.
When you love the doctor, it's like loving the stars themselves. You don't expect a sunset to admire you back. And if I happen to find myself in danger, let me tell you, the doctor is not stupid enough or sentimental enough, and he is certainly not in love enough to find himself standing in it with me.
Doctor Who, and man, we got some stuff to talk about, don't we?
Yes.
So let's start with Extremis.
Extremis was a really interesting episode. It was an episode that took place at the Vatican, of all places. Right?
Yes, and it's kind of an interesting thing because I don't remember, even in classic Doctor Who, of them really addressing anything religious. But this was kind of like...
They involved the Pope!
They involved the Pope. The Pope became a companion because he rode in the TARDIS.
That's right.
And so you have the Pope, so you have that whole Christian Roman Catholic thing going on. And then, at the same time, it talked about that Stephen Hawking theory that we're all just assimilation in some crazy computer game of some alien race.
Yeah.
So right now, we are a simulation, according to Stephen Hawking.
That's stupid.
Does the computer know I'm going to do this? Or did it predict it? Who knows?
Okay, you're stupid.
You're stupid. Didn't know I was going to call you stupid. Yeah, that was pretty predictable.
Hey! Excuse you.
Anywho.
There was a few interesting things about this episode.
Yes.
The only thing I didn't like was when you actually got to the end and found out that none of it was real.
Yeah, so it feels like you just wasted the last 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Because none of it happened.
Not even for the actual doctor.
Yes. And, I mean, you kind of got that a little bit with that one Doctor Who episode last year with the, when he's stuck in the, confession dial.
Yes, but that was still him.
Yes. And he was still kind of living through that.
Exactly. So that's why this episode just... That's the only thing I didn't like about it. Because when you get to the end of it, it's like... For the actual players in this game, for Doctor and Bill, this never actually happened.
Right. And, you know, it's okay that that was it. But it is kind of like an old tropey kind of thing to do. And it was a bit of a letdown and a bit of a cop-out. You know, if you really think about it.
Yeah. Now, of course, everybody's been talking about who these, you know, corpsey monks are.
Right.
And what their identity is. And there's been a lot of things flying around, including that they could be Manda Cybermen, but yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. No, I don't see them as Manda Cybermen. I think maybe it's probably some kind of Gallifreyan-related thing. You know, maybe they're an ancient enemy of Gallifrey, or they're former Time Lords, or something like that.
I even think they could be the Sisterhood of Karn, based on the robes they're wearing.
No, I mean, they're not female, number one. They're all male, so...
Well, how can you tell? They're all corpsey.
At least from their voice. They sound...
That don't mean nothing.
They sound male.
It could be Karn. You don't know. That's my theory.
Did the simulation think I was going to call her stupid again?
You're stupid.
Shish.
All right, anywho. So overall, the whole thing about Veritas, the document, is that you read this and you find out that you're not real. And that's why everybody starts committing suicide, is because you realize you're just part of a simulation.
Right. And that's the great Veritas. That's the truth.
Yeah, which again, you know, I thought was kind of lame.
Well, I mean, if you found out that you were just a computer program and not really alive, how would you react to it?
Well, here's the thing. Human beings have a survival instinct. So I think that not everybody who finds out this truth is going to end up killing themselves, because some people are still going to want to survive.
But you're finding out that you're not a human being. You're just some kind of program.
Okay, so you're just finding out that you're something other than what you thought you were.
Right.
Why would that still drive every single person that reads this to kill themselves?
Because you don't exist.
You do exist to some extent.
No, not really. Does Super Mario exist? Not really. He's not a person.
Have you seen Wreck-It Ralph? All I'm saying is that to these people, you know, finding out this truth, okay, so you find out this truth, but you can still continue on with this simulation. It doesn't just end just because you know the truth. You end it because you know of that truth, but do you have to actually end it? Or maybe it's just part, it's something that they didn't explain. Maybe it's part of the programming.
That if you find out, then you're programmed to terminate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they didn't really explain that.
Yeah, it's possible. Anywho. See what I did there?
Stupid.
Did it think you were going to say that?
Okay, stop it. We're not a simulation.
You don't know. We could be.
I don't want to be. Really? Prince died, man. That's a sucky simulation.
Yeah, that's a flaw in the programming for sure. Anywho, so what are we rating this episode?
I'll give it a 7.
Ooh, a 7? Really?
Again, because I really hate that trope where you get to the end and you find out that none of it was real.
I do too, and that's why I'm not giving it a higher grade, but I'm at least giving it an 8 because it was a really good episode.
I'm not saying it wasn't good. I just... I don't know. I hate that trope.
All right, before we move on to Pyramid at the End of the World, we have to talk about the whole Missy angle.
Yes. In Extremis, you know, we get a few flashbacks that reveal what the Doctor's oath is, the one that, you know, they've been hinting on all series.
And it was basically that he has to guard Missy's body.
Her living body, because for some reason they couldn't kill her.
Right, because apparently it's really difficult to kill a Time Lord.
Gee, I wonder why.
So the Doctor agreed to watch over Missy for 1,000 years. And so that's basically what he's been doing. And why he decided to do that? I guess because he's the only Time Lord available, but still! That seems like a highly stupid thing to do.
I mean, when you're in all time and space, is there anybody actually policing him?
Not really.
I mean, he's on Earth, and he could literally just go do anything he wanted, and...
And it's not like those other monks. And do you think the monks that have something to do with that whole, you know, killing or putting pain on people have something to do with the monks that are in the pyramid?
Yeah, that's a good... maybe.
I don't know. What did you think of the whole Missy thing, though?
Predictable? It was going to be one or the other. We knew it was going to be the Master.
I was hoping it was John Sim, but the fact that it's Missy isn't very surprising. I told you it was the Master a long time ago.
Yeah, well, I said that. I mean, we
no,
both...
No, I said that.
We both said that.
No, I said that.
You stupid.
You stupid. All right, let's move on to the next episode. The Pyramid at the End of the World, which did not have anything about the whole Missy thing.
Right? Shut your pie hole!
The version you didn't hear was her talking about Missy being in this episode when Missy was not in this episode at all.
And yes, we looked it up because even Jason couldn't remember. So, ha!
I was right. You were wrong. I told you she was an extremist.
Yeah, but you still had to look it up anyway, didn't you?
Because you made me doubt myself, like you always do.
Because you're stupid!
You're stupid!
You're stupid! All right, so either way, double episodes are bad enough, but when you have a three-parter, it actually kind of feels like one of the old-style classic Doctor Who series.
Yeah.
Except some of those would go for like 12 episodes.
Yeah.
Not many, but some.
Some of them would. And for me, I mean, I don't mind the three-parter, but the fact that I was able to predict that it was a three-parter was kind of disappointing that it actually ended up being the three-parter because it was a little bit too predictable.
Yeah. Now, here's another thing. Poor Bill can't catch a break with this chick.
Yeah, she's been trying to hook up with this chick forever, and every time she does, it gets...
First it was the Pope, then it was
but
the
But that was a simulation, so that doesn't count.
True. But then it gets interrupted by the UN.
Yes.
And he's president of the world again.
Well, he's always president of the world. It's just he's only president when there's a crisis. And there's always a crisis. So basically, he's always president.
Now, he does get his sight back at the end of this episode.
Yes, he does. And it's not a good thing. Because what Bill traded for his sight was basically the Earth. And I don't know. What did you think of Bill's decision?
I don't know. I know she was trying to help him, and I think that she also felt that for Earth, this might have been the best option. Because either way, the aliens were going to try to destroy the whole entire planet, right?
Here's my question. Doesn't the Doctor have a phone?
Does he?
I think he does.
It's probably in his glasses.
So, why not FaceTime? Have her look at the dials and tell him when he hits the numbers. Then she doesn't have to give up the whole planet.
Problem with that.
What?
He's not going to be able to see the screen on the phone.
So he can't activate the app. Okay. Okay. Fine. 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 Whatever. Screw you.
Either way, we know they're going to find a way out of all of this because the show's got to continue on. And the show will continue on.
And that makes us... Well, before we go on to the next question, which is an important question, what do you rate this episode?
I definitely rate this a lot better than Extremis. I'll give it a 9.
I'm more of an 8, because, I mean, it was a good episode, but I really didn't care for the ending, and I didn't care for all the military people being a bunch of idiots and not trusting the Doctor after how many fracking times he saved the Earth.
I'm surprised UNIT didn't make an appearance.
Yeah, why was it the UN instead of UNIT?
Right?
Hmm.
That just seemed weird, because UNIT is usually the one in charge of the president of the world.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was kind of odd. But, yeah. I'm giving it probably an 8. So, I think it's about as good as Extremis was.
Now, is there a possibility that Capaldi could regenerate the next episode?
That is the big question that everybody's asking, because the clues are that in the season trailer, where we see Capaldi start to do that regeneration thing, he's in a room similar to what was previewed in the next episode. And we also see in the preview for the next episode, Bill shooting him. So,
could he be regenerating next week? Next Saturday?
The answer, no. He's not going to regenerate the next episode because we know he's in the episode after that, and the episode after that, and the episode after that, and the Christmas episode. So, no, he's not regenerating in that episode.
No, they haven't filmed the Christmas episode yet.
Yes, they have.
Have they?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So, no, he's not regenerating.
Sure.
It might be one of those David Tennant-styled false regenerations where he uses some regeneration energy to heal himself, but...
Do you notice that almost every single series, when they come out with the trailer, there's always like a little regeneration teaser?
Yeah. Well, not every series, but at least towards the end of Matt's run, you know, they started doing the fake regenerations. And then, obviously, David Tennant had the fake regeneration. And now, I think we're going to get it with Capaldi, where we're going to have the fake regeneration, the fake out. And everybody knows it's a fake out. And the only way this would be a surprise is if it wasn't a fake out. And I think that's just too big of a secret. How the hell would they keep that secret?
Well, they kept Clara a secret on the first episode with those Daleks.
True, they did. But at the same time, how do you explain Capaldi being in every trailer for the following episodes, including the Mondas episodes?
But we haven't seen full episodes yet.
No, of course not, because they haven't aired
yet. What if they just plugged him in into trailers as a way to throw everybody else
off? That would be douchey. Nah, I wouldn't like that. That would be kind of misleading. Yeah, no. Nope.
Right, so,
nope, don't like that idea.
So we're in agreement that there is going to be no regeneration.
There may be a fake-out regeneration, but it's not going to be the true regeneration where he regenerates into Chris Marshall or whoever the hell is going to be the next Doctor.
Now, there have been some more news coming out on that. Are we thinking maybe the announcement might be made soon?
Yeah, because apparently BBC also aired a trailer for the 13th Doctor where, it's basically going through every single regeneration, and then at the end of it, you hear a male voice going, "Hello," and nobody... sure who that was. It wasn't any of the other Doctors, so we're thinking it's the new Doctor, and people have been trying to put two and two together. Some people say it sounds like Chris Marshall, other people say it sounds like somebody else, and there's been a few other people that they have been mentioning that it could be some young 32-year-old guy that had a picture with Matt Smith recently, who knows?
Yeah.
But to answer your question, do I think it's going to be announced soon? Yes. I don't think it's going to be kept a secret too much longer. And thank God, because I'm tired of hearing about it.
All right, so one last item before we close. So BBC World reveals a plan to run Doctor Who to at least Series 15.
I don't think they intended on doing that, but it became public knowledge when the deal with the Chinese... basically what happened was BBC Worldwide struck a deal with the Chinese to have Doctor Who be shown in China. And the deal is for all of the previous season's episodes, seasons with the 9th Doctor, the 10th Doctor, the 11th Doctor, and Capaldi's 10th season, the 11th season that's going to be happening with Chris Chibnall, plus seasons 12, 13, 14, and 15. Which means we're going to have a season 12, 13, 14, and 15. At least.
Well, if you remember, we were discussing this the other day when you were mentioning this news to me. You know, a lot of our times when our shows go on a hiatus, you know, when a season ends, if it's Supernatural, if it's Lucifer, if it's, some of our other shows... you know, we wait on pins and needles to hear whether or not, any of these shows is going to have another season. We mm-hmm. wait for the news on whether or not it's renewed for another year. Doctor Who is one of those rare shows where we don't have to worry about whether it's going to be renewed for another year or not, because you know it will be.
I don't know if that's true, because, I mean, it has been canceled in the past. So you can get some BBC comptroller that's installed that absolutely hates Doctor Who and loves stuffy British drama and would rather replace Doctor Who with, an hour of Masterpiece Theater. So it could definitely be canceled again. There's no doubt about that. And we know that ratings have been going down in the BBC in the UK of late. So it's not impenetrable. If the ratings fall low enough, then definitely it can be canceled.
Even though the ratings have been dropping a little bit, but Doctor Who is still the highest rated show for the BBC.
It's not the highest rated show because you have the Strictly Come Dancing and things like that. But it is one of the big money makers for BBC, especially worldwide. It may not be as big in the UK right now as some other shows, but it's still a worldwide phenomenon. You know, you're not going to see, I mean, other than maybe Downton Abbey, there are a few other shows that will transcend from the UK to the US, to China, to all of Europe, to everywhere. You know, there's not many shows that'll do that. And this one is one of them.
Yeah, that's why I still think it's one of their biggest cash cows.
And they make so much money off merchandise and everything else. I mean, any new doctor that they get, they're going to sell a whole ton of...
I was at Walmart the other day, and in the men's department where they have all the pop culture t-shirts, they actually had a Doctor Who t-shirt this time around.
Right. So, I mean, it's a huge moneymaker, and I don't think they ever want to let it go away. They might take hiatuses for a while. Like, I mean, let's just face it. How long did we have to wait for Series 10?
A very long time.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about that, you know, it's the the 12th or 13th anniversary of New Who, but we're in Season 10, so we've missed a few years somewhere along the line here, right?
Yeah, but that wasn't due to the ratings, as it was more to scheduling conflicts.
Well, scheduling conflicts, and they reshuffle the show, they reorganize the show. Like, there was a big layoff between David's last few episodes, and let's face it, the end of David's run was kind of broken up to where it was only like hour-long specials. You know, there was 4-hour-long specials to wrap up his story. You know, that's near cancellation right there. And then you have the return of Matt. There was a bit of a break between that time and the return of Matt. And then you had the Capaldi layoff that we just experienced. So, you know, every once in a while, they'll take a break for a little while just to kind of like...
Refresh
and kind of let, you know, everybody get away from like Doctor Who fatigue, and then they bring it back. So just because we're going to have a Series 15 doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be over the next 5 years. It could be Series 15 in 8 years. You know, we might see Series 15 in 8 years from now.
That is very true.
So I think it's encouraging, you know, that BBC has a plan for the future for Doctor Who, and that once we get to Series 15, I don't think it's going to end there. I think it's going to continue on after that, because
yeah,
we'll probably have another new Doctor. And
it's not just the television series. There's been a lot of big things and a lot of expansions going on with the Big Finish audios,
too. Yeah, but that has nothing to do with BBC, though. I mean,
no, it doesn't, BBC... but it still helps the genre. It still helps the franchise.
Right. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode of Transmissions from Atlantis, the 5th anniversary episode of Transmissions from Atlantis.
So next week we get to wrap up our review of the 3-parter Doctor Who episodes.
Yep, maybe we'll have a new Doctor by then. Who knows? We'll see. And, of course, Wonder Woman's coming out.
And we promise we will actually go see Wonder Woman.
Yes. So we will definitely have a review for Wonder Woman!
Stupid.
You're stupid.
You're stupid.
Shit. But anyway, that's going to do it for this episode, and we will see you next week. Allons-y.
Allons-y.
Goodbye, everybody.
Murder. Allons-y. I should say allons-y, Mark. Allons-y. Look sharp, Rose Tyler. Allons-y. And then, it'd be really brilliant if I met someone called Alonzo, because then I could say allons-y, Alonzo, every time.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.